What is good, everyone? Welcome back to the NOA podcast. Speaking as your co-host Tyler, I'm here with my man Trey.
What's good?
Oh, my boy switched it up today. Okay. That kind of threw me off, bro. You fucked up the intro, bro. We're supposed to be formal today. You fucked it all up. It's fine though. It's fine.
Anytime.
Okay. Facts. Now today on the 100th episode out of all the episodes, nigga wants to say what's good.
Hey, I'm feeling different, bro. I'm feeling different today.
What's good with your man's Quinn? He fucked up the intro, bro.
I woke up and chose a new man. That's what he
for
did.
Real, bro. Is this even Trey? Yo, like, are you you an alien, too? Bro? Are we
else,
even man. Talking to Trey?
Y'all something else, man. Keep it going.
It's kind of too late. We fucked up the intro. Bro. But anyway, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate y'all. Just check us out on Instagram. That's going to be NOA_podcast. You can find us out on YouTube. Please make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just type in NOA podcast in the search bar. You can also find us on TikTok at NOA podcast 1. If you couldn't already tell from what I said before, this is a very big podcast. This is the 100th episode.
100.
It's kind of crazy to think that we made it this far. Quinn popped out for this episode, which we truly, truly appreciate for you coming back on for what? This is like the fourth time?
I think it's the fourth.
Yeah. Yeah. But it definitely is crazy to think that, like, damn, nigga, we made it to 100, bro. Like, 100 episodes. That's kind of crazy, man.
Yeah. Didn't really think you'd make it that far. All of a sudden, now you're here.
You know, I do got a question for you, Trey. I remember, take a little stroll down memory lane.
Of course.
When we were in a gym, I remember niggas were doing legs, and you came and you were like, "Yo, Brody, we should start a podcast." And you're like, you know what? That's not a bad idea, you know. When you, I guess, had the idea for a podcast, and when you proposed the question to me, like, did you see us making, like, 100 episodes, or, like, how far out, when you brought up the idea and thought about it, how far out did you, like see it, I guess, like, becoming?
You know, to be honest with you, I actually didn't think of it going that far. I saw it more of as a thing where we're just making memories. And you know what? That's really what I try to keep it as. We're just making memories. But now I'm kind of seeing it's turning into something bigger and greater than what I had originally expected. Which, you know, I'm not surprised, because I find that when people try certain things, especially when they're experimenting and just like trying something new, sometimes the thing that they least expected happening ends up happening in the first place. And I remember when we originally started, but we weren't consistent. You know, we did it every now and then. And to be honest, that's how it was going to stay until like the boys actually got on us and was like, "Yo, like,
they
we
started
actually
pressing
want
us.
You to." Yeah, they were like, "We actually want like episodes weekly." You know, and that pushed us, that kept us going. And frankly, that's the reason we're here now, is because we improved. I didn't really see it going that far, because I really just thought it was just gonna be an us thing. I only expected us to listen to it. I didn't expect anybody else to listen to it. I figured it was just gonna be more of like an archives thing for us to go back and listen to. But come to find out, people actually enjoy it. People actually want to listen to it. People actually look forward to doing this. It's quite surprising. So I'd have to say it's gone beyond my expectations.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I really ain't expect it. Even when you brought it up to me, I really ain't know where it was like gonna go. I figured just us would listen. I also figured our niggas would listen, like the homies. But like I ain't really expect like anyone outside of like, I guess, us to listen.
Yeah, true. I still get surprised when people tell me they listen. I'm like, really?
I'd be surprised. Damn, I go know. I'd be surprised too. I'd be like, damn. Because also, especially as someone who like I didn't, because I don't really expect. It's weird because like, I expect people to listen, but like when I see someone I know or meet someone, I don't automatically be like, "Oh yeah, that you must have listened to my podcast. You have to." So like it does like throw me off a little bit when they're like, "Yo, bro, I heard the podcast." I'm like, "Oh shit!" I'm like, "Oh, okay, like you kind of pay attention." Holy shit! Yeah. It definitely is cool. But Quinn, How you doing today, Brody? It's been a while since you've been on, man. How's life been treating you, bro?
Man, life been good. I've been a little bit stressful. But overall, man, I'm glad to be alive. I'm above dirt, so that's good.
That is a huge
big facts, bro. Big facts. Big facts. So, I know last time, man, came on here, you were a changed man. And I'm assuming now you've kind of gone through changes as well. So, I know you're trying to go be a police officer?
Yes, sir.
Trying to be the ops now.
Hey, switch your team.
I guess Trey the only one who's changing on this podcast, huh?
Double agent, man. Hell no.
We're all growing up, it seems. We're all growing up.
Facts. But how's that, like, the process of, like, becoming a cop? Like, how is that?
I mean, so far so good in the academy-wise. I mean, there are some times that it becomes stressful. But it's stressed for a reason, because our instructors, they pretty much give us, like, different scenarios. Mm-hmm. Also being in, too. And they'll just throw out, hey, so how will you guys handle this? So far, we lost, like, 4 people of shooting, because niggas can't shoot for shit.
Damn,
they got shot, bro?
No.
Like, they just got no aim. Like,
we went to the shooting range.
I know.
We went to the shooting range. And
this nigga Trey thought they, yo, this nigga Trey thought they died. They got shot.
Trouble.
Oh. Like, yo, what y'all niggas really doing in the academies, bro? Yeah, niggas out here taking lives, bro.
Out here aiming at actual people. not even using dummies. Oh, yeah, but God. So you lost 4 people. They quit or they just got kicked out?
Nah, so for every class we take or every course, you have to pass it. And you're like, it's a gimme. Yeah, you have to earn it. I mean, we've shot someone bullets, but still, you know, like, some people, it wasn't just their time at the moment. So, like, they're like, listen, bro, you could stay and you could just come to our different class, our next class, which is, like, it's starting next month, or you could just say fuck it and just go somewhere else.
Are they kind of like letting them go in a way?
No. So they have the option, like, okay, if you stay, we will teach you to shoot, or you have to be in the next upcoming academy.
Oh, so you gotta do it all again?
Like, nah, yeah, you gotta do
it. It's like they kind of got held back, type shit. Basically.
Yeah. Okay.
Essentially. So that was like the main, like, one of the main things. That was fun though. I was competing with instructors. We still got like a wager going on too. It was like if I could shoot 100, he could shoot and match up with him, and I'd have to do push-ups then. But if I shoot less than him, then I owe him some push-ups.
Yeah, you gotta do some push-ups. Okay. I'm assuming you passed. You passed the shooting though.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Easily. And away the game type stuff. Of course, lightweight. I'm not surprised.
As expected.
I know for the shooting so far right now I'm second place to someone else.
Oh, okay, my boy, high up there.
Yeah,
that's really. I mean, funny.
And then I think last week we had our driving course, like the EVOC.
Yeah, you were telling me about
different
that.
Different courses and stuff. Hell yeah, man. That shit was fun. Driving like, what, I think 70, 80 miles per hour. You got to cut through the like a tight-ass curve.
Damn. Nigga swerving it out of lanes type shit?
Yeah. Damn. And then now we just started our first day of fighting. Like, defensive tactics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I do got a question. Because I know you had... So you're trying to be a police officer now. And I know you have military experience. Do you think that your military experience is helping you do this course? Like, do you think you kind of got a little bit of an advantage because you have military experience?
To a certain extent. Because, I mean, the physical part, yes, like the military did help. The shooting part. And the stress part, the military does help.
Okay.
But there's also a huge difference between police and military. Like, the police is do what you're told when you're told, and that's it. police, you actually have to like think about stuff. Because like, for example, like knock on wood, like let's say I go to a call right now and then the person's being a bitch. And I was like, yo, please try to, you know, I'm trying to talk to the person, you know, to keep the peace. Because at the end of the day, officers are peace officers at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person's not being, you know, I'm not trying to listen. Now I got to implement a certain type of force, depending on the type of force that the person is giving me. So like, let's say you just walking down the street, you see that, then you see me going hand in hand with this person. Your eyes, you can be like, oh, this officer is doing so and so, right? But really, the truth is, like, this dude has probably shot somebody somewhere. This dude probably either robbed someone. But you don't know that. All you see is Queen is out here being
somebody. Beating somebody up type shit.
Yeah. So you also, like, that's like a huge difference between police and then, like, you actually think about stuff before you do it. And also, you don't want to violate someone's right. So before you put your hands on somebody, you actually know
why right. You're doing
it. Wait, but hold up. Okay. Hold up for a second, though. So do you not have to do those things in the military?
We have to do it, but at least, like, okay, for the military, like, if I'm going on a mission, be like, okay, this is our objective. This is the purpose of us doing this mission. If someone shoot at you, obviously, you have to have PID, which is positive identification. Once you see them shoot at you, automatically, without you thinking twice, lay he back on that person. You have to stop the threat. Stop the threat. I mean, this nigga probably might meet God, or this nigga might be in the hospital, but you have to stop the threat.
Yeah, that's a little bit different than the cops, I guess.
Police officer, you still got to stop the threat, but also you have to be.
You're not lady. Well, no, strategic.
Yeah, not unloading the clip, like, type shit.
Yeah,
it seems like you have to be.
And the first thing he does is trying to kill somebody. Then that's a problem.
It seems like you have to be a little bit more like ethical when like you're a police officer.
Yeah,
like you can't just like pull out a gun and like just shoot someone and be like, "Yo, fuck you," type shit. Yeah. You gotta actually. Like, there has to be certain.
I've said it to myself. Like the only reason I should use a gun is when I'm at the range. I don't want to use the gun on somebody because I see no point. You know. Yeah. I mean? Now, if it comes down to it, and then we have to use necessary force, then I may have to use that.
It should be the last thing you're doing. That's
yeah. Like my goal is to go throughout my whole career without like
having to kill somebody. Yeah. That's fair.
I don't want to take it that far, but like, I don't want to even draw my weapon out on somebody. Like, damn. Yeah. Like now we are at that point.
Because there's a possibility of having to go down that road, man.
Yeah.
And you also know how bad it looks. Just there's like a stigma behind police officers, especially nowadays. And it just looks bad when you got to pull the gun out, man. It just does.
Oh man, it's rough.
I can do they prepare you? Do they prepare you for that when you're going in? Like how the climate is out there for cops?
Yeah, we like almost every single day, we talk about different things. They show us videos about different scenarios, real things that happen. And then they advise us. We have an instructor right now. He's from Africa. Hmm. And then he literally, like, he would go hours explaining one scenario. The purpose of us to try to understand, like, hey, this is what you do. This is what you're into. How are you going to handle it? Because at the end of the day, like, Most officers will work together for years, right? They will never be at each other's house ever.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Even though, like, yeah, so even though, like, you still work with them, that's not really your family. At the end of the day, you got to lean on your own family, like your friends.
True.
Yo, bro, this is what happened. I did it. Like, this is what I did today. I don't know. I can't talk to my girl. I can't talk to my friend. I go talk to my boys. I mean. Yeah, it's totally different. Military and police totally different.
Yeah, I can imagine. Hey, there's a little bit of a comradeship and a brotherhood there.
Yeah, for sure. Like I know, in certain departments, like there's one department in particular, like they're definitely definition of brotherhood. They got your back for sure. As long as you're doing the right thing. They will never take blame for your stupid shit that you did as an officer.
That's fair. That's just you taking accountability, though.
Yeah, take accountability for your actions type shit.
Well, what? This county will make sure you take accountability of your actions. They don't play that.
Yeah, of course.
They don't play that. Man, what?
Tyler, would you ever become a cop?
Nah.
No. You're just not interested.
Yeah, like, and I know it's different than, like, the military, but it just, it never really, like, interests me. Honestly, I think it's very hard to be a cop, and I don't think it really interests me. I really also, like, won't, like, I'm gonna be honest, to a certain extent, I really don't like following, like, the rules. Like, it just, I just wouldn't want to, like, abide by, like, certain shit that I know I would need to abide by. So, like, I just feel like I wouldn't be the best cop.
So you're the type of nigga to unload the clip then?
Okay, I wouldn't unload the clip because I know the con. Like, I know, like, okay, if I do this, and say this ain't going to be, like, a good look. But, like, I don't know. I feel like there'd be times, like, Sergeant will, like, tell me to do something, and it's, like, something I genuinely don't want to do. It. I'm just like, yo, like, fuck this. Like,
I'm beginning to notice a pattern. You seem to not like authority very much.
I don't like people telling me what to do. I'm going to keep it 100% honest with you. I'm not a fan of that. I like to kind of do my own thing.
I support that, man.
Like, yeah, I like to do my own thing, take care of my own business, do what I got to do. As long as the job gets done and no one gets hurt and you still get the results that you thought you were going to get, that's all then we cool, bro. But I don't like, you know what I'm saying? I'm even now, like, working the job, I like, the one reason why I kind of like the job is there's a little bit of leeway to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could come in, I could wear whatever I want. I don't got to wear a uniform, you know, to a certain extent. I could kind of, like, I can go get my own patients. I can set up the room the way I want to set it up. I could scan and do, you know, I could do a, obviously I have to follow a certain protocol, but like if I wanted to add something or take something away, I have a little bit more freedom. I feel like in terms of the military or the academy, and Quinn, obviously you could correct me if I'm wrong, I just feel like they're much more strict, and it's much more like I'm telling you to do this. Like, this isn't really kind of like how a parent is.
This is an order.
Yeah, it's like I'm telling you this. This isn't a convert, like, especially like where you're talking to a little kid. Like, your mom is really telling you to do something. She's not asking you. It's like, this is what it is. Like, there's no back and forth. Like, don't back talk me. Like, this ain't what it is.
Exactly.
And I'm just not a fan of that.
I mean, to add on that, too, I know, like, they were telling us, usually in certain scenarios, you ask, tell, then do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, sir, can you please stop doing this?
Like, yeah, God. So it's not coming off as, so it's not coming off. They want to start it off so it's not coming off as it's an order.
Yeah,
but if you're not complying, then it turns into an order.
Yeah,
I get where they're coming from there.
And also, I will say this. Yeah. I think now, honestly, right now it's very hard to be a cop because cops have
It's a tough time to be a police officer.
Yeah, like. No, to be honest, no one really fucks with cops. No one really.
No.
And they seem to, especially now with a lot of different incidences that popped up, whether the cop was right or wrong, like, they're being attacked. They're being attacked, man. And I think
that's true.
And you know, Quinn, I really tip my hat to you. You know, I really give it to you. Because there's just certain bullshit that you kind of just going to have to deal with being a cop. Just because you're a cop, you could do nothing wrong. Sure. But just because you're a cop.
Just because you got that uniform on, man.
Yeah.
Just because
some
you
people
have
like,
that
yo,
uniform,
fuck you. What? And you're like, bro, I'm just here to get a coffee, bro. And you're over here cursing me out type shit. Like, you know,
so
like.
Much, bro.
So, but I think
so much.
It's rough, man. It's rough. Trey, would you ever be a cop?
Speaking of coffee, when was it? It was like a few days ago. Cop was trying to get some food off McDonald's, man. He pretty much tampered with his food.
Damn, that's messed up.
He tampered with his food, man. Like,
that's not okay, man.
Cops complaining that they had glass shattered in the food.
What?
I think other cub said someone spat in his food.
That's rough, man.
It's rough for them, not for me.
Yeah,
me yeah, for
now. Yeah. Quinn, once you become official, nigga, don't go out, bro. Nigga might fuck around, put a laxative in your drink, fuck up your whole day. That's rough.
Shit, yeah. Well, Tyler, to answer your question, I don't think I could. Similar to you, I don't have any interest in it. I also have an issue with people ordering me around, which is a big reason why I never joined the military. I just don't like niggas yelling at me for no reason.
Yeah, and I gotta really love what I'm doing to have you. Like, football, fine. That was, like, the only time where I'll let a nigga yell in my face with no repercussions. Because, like, yo, you're lucky I love this sport so much. Like, other than that, I'm like, yo, I'm going home, bro. Why are you talking to me like this?
You're like, have some semblance of respect. For you know? Real.
That's kind of like how I it's like, nigga, I miss one block, bro. There's no need for you to yell at me like this.
I understand that in the military, they kind of have to break you down and then build you back up. And that's perfectly fine, man. I just didn't want to be broken down. I'm like, listen, man, life is breaking me down enough. It's like, nigga, I'm fine, life. Bro. I don't want to keep doing all this. So that's to answer your question. I probably would become a cop. Also, nothing against police officers, of course. I have no beef towards them. And frankly, I think they need and deserve more respect out there. But I will be fully honest, I'm not a huge fan of them. I grew up being afraid of them. I grew up always hearing watch out for police. And I was a good kid. So you hear that from your family members saying, yeah, watch out for the people who are protecting you. After a while, it's like, well, are you really here to protect me? But as I've gotten older, I've gotten cooler with them, I guess I'll say. Not to mention, my brother's going to be one of them now. So, like, it's just
how
like,
facts. You got no choice, nigga.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm definitely not going to be one of those cops. I'm telling you right now. Like, my intention to go in is literally to the kids, like, yo, bro, this is what's going on. Like, I want to educate because I don't want to judge people, like, especially like kids nowadays.
Like, yeah, man.
My shit, blah, blah. Nah. Hey, why are you doing it? All right, let me explain to you the rules on how this works. Because a lot of people, I've realized in America,
they don't understand.
They don't know the rules. Literally.
Yeah, they don't know.
No, we don't make the rules. We just enforce them.
That is fair.
I don't think people guess that. Like,
that is true. That is true.
It's Congress. They make the rules.
Yeah, but they get mad at the cops.
Exactly. Because you're the enforcer.
We don't like it.
Yeah.
Because like,
it's
let's be
like how kids. It's kind of like how kids didn't like hall monitors. It's like, listen, I'm not exactly. The one out here. Like, I didn't make this rule. I'm just the one enforcing it. Like, don't get mad at me. It's the same concept.
Yeah, but usually it's because like you're the one doing the action that's like causing them. I'm not gonna say harm, but like causing them some type of like like causing them to be like uncomfortable or like discomfort. Fucking up their front.
Causing them discomfort. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. I can't go to the congressman and curse him out. But you're here right now, so I can curse you out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, we're taking all the
facts. We can't curse the congress people out, but you're here, and I'm angry now, so I'm gonna curse you out. Yeah, that's simply put, Tyler. That's exactly what it is. And I don't want to go through that, so I wouldn't be.
Quinn, what made you want to be a police officer and like go down this route?
That's a great question. Yeah, for real.
Essentially, I'm just trading one uniform for another. That's like one of it. But generally speaking, I just love like the order of things. I just genuinely like to help people, and also they have SWAT team. That's my goal. Already told them.
Oh, so your goal is SWAT?
Like.
He's not even going to be behind the desk.
Look, my goal is to run SWAT. Like, I want to be a team leader on there. If I can't make it, if I can't make SWAT in next, like, I'll say what, like 5 or 10 years, then I may have to go to a different department, if God willing. My goal is to make SWAT and actually run it. That's what I want, because once you SWAT, you work with BIDA, things like that.
Damn, you were very
important people, ain't it?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, when I do graduate, I have to work on the road,
of course,
roads and whatnot. That is not my goal. My goal is not to just stay in the road. My goal is to be more.
Yeah. You're trying to grow.
Main guys.
Yeah, you're trying to grow. Yeah. You're not trying to stay at the level that you're at, but you're trying to, over the years, continue to grow, continue to become better until you hit a much higher position.
Yeah, for sure.
You see, and this is why...
You told him, nigga said, this is why I'm here, bro. I ain't here for none of this other shit, bro. I'm just here because I have to. But, like, that's the main goal. Yeah,
at least he has a goal. Fact. At least he has an idea of what he wants to do. A lot of people kind of go into it not knowing what they want.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I think that also gives you a little bit more drive to, when you have, a specific goal, at least with me, I feel like it gives you a little bit more drive to kind of, deal with the bullshit because you have a bigger goal. And you know what you really want out of life. So even because even now, Quinn, you probably have to deal with some bullshit that you're like, bro, why do I have to do this? But you know, okay, well, the goal is to run SWAT. I kind of got to go through the mud. I kind of got to go through the ranks and start at the bottom and build myself up. But it's kind of like it'll be worth it once you get to that goal, you know, and it helps you kind of keep pushing. Mm.
Yeah. Very true, man. Very, very, very true. See, this is why he needs to... I'm going to end up either living in... Either in this nigga's house with him, or I'm going to be having a house on his block because I know this man's going to be kitted up.
And what?
He's going to have all the toys, bro. Like, he's going to have everything.
I'm trying to get more. Watch, by the time December hit, Trey, I'm going to have more.
Bro, ain't nobody could ever rob this nigga's crib, man. You try to run up in Crib's house, you will catch your fly.
I got a cane corso waiting for you at the door, bro.
And that's just the first line of defense. That's just the first line of defense,
Damn, bro. You got two killers walking around your house, bro.
And what? Hey, last night, I think I was walking them. And some big muscular dude was walking down the street. He thought he was sweet. Of course, it came out of cut. He did was bark, bro. I'm sorry, running so fast, bro.
Yeah, we ain't fuck with that. King Corso's no fucking joke, bro.
Bro, King Corso is a king in and of himself, man. Like, you can't play with that.
He's a mixed breed, though. He's a mixed breed with a Preston Canario. So you're combining two aggressive dogs. And I have a people.
You get a super aggressive dog in the end.
This nigga Quinn walk around with a fucking super dog on a fucking leash. That's wild.
He was actually telling me some of the problems that he was having with the dog. We were on the phone the other night, and it was maybe about 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And all of a sudden, bro, the dog just starts barking. It's barking. I'm like, damn, bro, you can't be doing that right now.
2 in the morning, bro.
And he had to deal with it. He was like, "Listen, man, I gotta handle big homie, because he's such a young puppy. Like, he has to understand. Like, listen, who's boss? I'm boss, not you. Like, you don't get the run shit around here."
Yeah, and I heard
those types of dogs, you need authority.
Yeah, I heard that with a cane corso, you actually got to be stern with them because they do get to be quite large, and because they are relatively aggressive breeds. Like, if you're not firm with them, they will bit you. Like, they'll take over the house type shit.
Yeah, bro, for real. And I think that's what's one of the things he was telling me about, because, he can't always be there. So he's like, damn, I can't, bring him. What were you trying to bring in the training?
Yeah, I was trying to train him. I was trying to bring him to a trainer. He's like, nah, I'm going to train him myself, because it's best for them to know you, how you train it.
That's true.
Let someone else randomly that they don't know. Because dogs, especially that type of dog, that breed, is very intelligent. It's a smart-ass dog. Sometimes where I put him in a cage by himself, I leave him there, and then maybe a few hours later, this nigga's out. I'm telling you, that's a very intelligent dog. When he's hungry, trust me, he will get to that bag.
Yeah, he'll figure a way out. He's like, listen, I'm a survivor. I will figure something out.
Yeah, he's very intelligent.
You haven't trained a dog before, have you?
I've trained my pit bull. Like, my people is just like me. He's very quiet. He barks or he get aggressive when it's needed. I've trained him to sit, roll over, things like that. But I use like African words and Caribbean words for him to understand what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And with the same with the Ken Corso mix. But that motherfucker be on my nerves, bro.
Shit. Yeah, Tyler, do you think you'll end up getting the King Corso now that you're hearing what Quinn's going through?
Honestly, I'm not.
It's worth it, bro.
I'm actually not sure. And it's not 100% what Quinn said. I know Trey has told me that like before that you had a Corcoso, it was telling me shit like that. And I already did a little research, so I already kind of know to a certain extent how they are. If I do get one, I don't think it should be my first dog. Because, like, I've never trained a dog before. And because of the type of breed it is, because it is a quite aggressive and powerful dog, you need to be able to, like, you know, like, I guess, like, hold your own and, like, know your shit. So I would kind of want, like, practice. Like, I wouldn't kind of want, like, to get a Cane Corso now and then, like, try to train it. Because, like, I'm not the best. I've never trained a dog, which means I'm not the best at it. And, like, all I need is for this big, massive Cane Corso to attack somebody for me to get sued. And, like, if I had...
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? And if, let's say,
and
if I get...
And dog is put down.
Yeah, for real. So, let's say if I get a dog breed that's not as aggressive, learn how to train a dog and learn how to really, like, take hold, then after that, I would get a Cane Corso. So I guess the answer is yeah, I would still want a Cane Corso, but it wouldn't be my first dog. Now, what would my first dog be? I don't know yet, because I kind of just figured out that I probably shouldn't get a Cane Corso off the rip. But I'm probably a less aggressive breed, but I still want like a, because a Cane Corso is so big, I do want a big dog so I could get used to like dealing with big dogs. You know,
okay,
that's fair. The first dog I think
only train them is only $140 though.
But that's the pay to get them trained.
Pay to get them trained.
I ain't trying to. Yeah. I'm on your type of time. I want that nigga. I want him. I want him to know me. Like I don't want fucking Paul to train that nigga, and he respects Paul. And then when he comes back to my crib, he calls him up. Nah, bro, we ain't doing that. This nigga needs to know I'm the boss. I'm the. You know what I'm saying? So I want to train him. Like myself, I'm on your type of time, Quinn. I think you're doing the right thing, like you training him yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I would also end up doing the same thing. The dog I would get would be a German Shepherd first. That'd probably be the first dog I got. And after that, I know these wolves, these dogs are extremely aggressive. So this is kind of where I'd have to learn that breed. But you know, wolf dog.
Bro, what is good with you, my nigga? You would say like a wolf dog or some exotic shit, bro. The
I fuck? Get one of those.
This nigga wants a wolf. He wants a pet wolf. That's what this nigga wants. This nigga really said a wolf dog, bro. I'm over here thinking he's gonna say like Rottweiler or like something. Nigga said fucking wolf dog, bro. What the fuck?
I want to get me one of those.
Sleep with one eye open.
For real, yeah, I would say this, Trey. If you do actually get a wolf dog. Like, I need to know. Because, like, I'm going to be over your house all the time. Because, like, I want this nigga to know me, too. Like, I don't want to pull up and, like, that nigga's like, oh, dinner type shit. Nah, bro. I want him to know I'm the fam. So, like, when you get the wolf dog, I'm going to be living at your house for a little bit.
Just so he's accustomed
to. The nigga needs to know me, bro. Because I'm not coming over to your house and having to fight a whole wolf just to see my nigga, bro.
That's fair. Yeah, bro, I left.
You know those things are huge, though, right? You ever seen like big videos of them niggas?
Yeah, bro, they're big dogs, man. They're not to be played with. Like you need to be in order to get a dog like you can't get a dog like that for the first time. I wouldn't suggest it.
He would kill you.
And you need to be like well versed in just either that breed of animal or just dogs in general to handle it. And I want one so
meat consistently.
You say you gotta feed it what?
Meat.
Yeah, I don't think niggas gonna be happy with kibbles and bits.
Nah, but that's a whole wolf, right? That thing's more wolf than dog. See,
yeah,
the
no.
The reason I also want a wolf dog is I want to go hunting, and I want to go hunting with my dogs. So like, I'd bring him or her, whichever one it is.
What's better than having an actual wild animal as my hunting companion, bro?
Bro, listen, I like animals. I'm a very big animal guy. It's just my thing. And I want, like, exotic animals. I want to have a wolf dog. I want to go hunting with that. I want to get me a golden eagle or a gold eagle. You remember that video of the eagle grabbing the deer?
Yes.
That's the eagle I'm talking about. I want to get me one of those. And it's just because I like nature and I like hunting. I have never gone hunting, but I really want to do it. And I like to do it with my dogs and my birds, possibly. I think it'd just be a cool... It's a dream of mine that I'd like to achieve, so...
Fair enough. I can't get mad at it. Yeah, I do think wolf dog is wild, bro. I remember seeing a video of this nigga. It was like his dog, so they were cool. But like the dog was just standing by him, like just like growling, and that nigga's just like unfazed, and just like sitting there, just like pen the dog, and like he's just sitting there like growling, and that nigga's just
he
like
he looks like he's gonna bite his head off.
Yeah. Yeah, and the nigga's like, yo, like, cut that shit out. And, like, just casually just keeps petting. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, they're a whole different breed, bro. They are. You're right. They are definitely more wolf than dog. You damn near have a pet wolf.
Essentially. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, man. I'm not surprised, though, because, like, wolf is your favorite.
If you're afraid of them, they could sense it.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, you can't be afraid of them.
That's wild, though.
You know, Quinn, I actually have a question for you. I don't mean to change the topic too much. But of all my friends, you have been in, frankly, the longest relationships. So I question you, as a man, how is it that you're able to run a successful relationship?
Facts. That's actually a really good question.
That's a great question. First thing first is pray to God so that you won't kill the bitch.
that's the first thing, man. That's number one. Pray to the Lord.
Whoa, man, because they would drive me crazy. But in all seriousness, though, I think like so far is communication. You gotta communicate, and then you have to give each other space.
So, communication
and space.
Okay.
Obviously, you also gotta be attracted to the person too.
I mean, of course,
an ugly person.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and then you also gotta be truthful. Like, okay, this is my goal. This is what I want to accomplish. And if she or he, whoever you're dating, does not match up to your goal, hey man, you probably want to call it quits and move on with your life. At the end of the day, what a benefit to you to come to when you're in a relationship that's stressful and that's not prosperous. Might as well just let it be. Communication and space, and then attracted to the person.
How are you able to keep your cool when you and your girl get into arguments? How do you not make your emotional side come out and be more stoic?
It's maturity and then understanding the partner that you're dealing with. Like, I could use my girl as an example. I already know she's emotional. I already know she's this, she's that. And then knowing me, I'm very quiet. So I think that also kind of like give her a little bit of like on ease. No.
Ooh. That's interesting. I've actually heard that before.
Cause I mean, I told her like I would never yell at you. I don't think I'll make a difference yelling at you. Yeah, it's not really productive.
Yeah, it's not productive.
I just like you go ahead, whatever you gotta get out, just don't say the wrong thing. If you do say the wrong thing, I'll just look at you deeply. Not in my head. And then I walk away.
That's powerful, bro. Silence is a powerful thing.
Yeah, man.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's how you handle it.
Yeah. I mean, also, though, realize, like, that person takes you out of your element.
Now, you were just about to say that person brings you out of your element. I'm glad you just said that. I know a lot of guys, and I've gone through this myself. When I first, before I had a girl, I was that nigga. I was the hardcore guy, the masculine person she wanted me to be. But I do notice over time when you're with a girl, you kind of get soft, you get all mushy-gushy. You kind of like take after how they are in a way, and they take after how you are. But I know for women, they want you to still be that hardcore guy, that guy that they knew kind of going into it. How do you prevent yourself, or at least balance that being nurturing and kind to her as women want you to be, but also being the man you're supposed to be?
Okay. First, like, I told her this. I'm like, listen, end of the day, I'm a dude, female. So certain things gotta be a certain way. Being that I come from a different country and I was raised differently, my family's telling me this, I'm not really that of an emotional type of person.
Yeah,
I think that also kind of like help out a little bit. Certain things, though, you know, will be mushy about, like, okay, I plan out this date, the dinner, and whatnot, you know, things like that. But
of course,
majority of the time, yeah. So, like, majority of the time, though, it doesn't make sense for me to be all mushy and sensitive, and that's what she does. You know what I mean? It's like two hot rods melting together. It's not going to work out. It's not going to cool down. Need someone to be hot-headed. You need someone to be, and the calm person, usually the person that most people come to for advice, cry out or to be heard, you know, things like that. So I think I like that way with her. She's crazy. She knows that she's crazy. I already told her she's crazy. I told her, like, you would never take me out of that element. If you do take me out of that element, I'd rather choose my peace. I didn't choose you.
So you're also willing to walk away when your piece is disturbed.
Yes. Easily. Like, and then I know some people might take that as, oh, he's just giving up. Nah, that is strength.
You make that known.
Yeah, I've made that known many times.
Yeah, she knows.
Yeah, I'm like, it took me a while to get to this piece, and I'm working on it. But I don't know. I don't let you do that to me. Yeah, I feel like that's unfair. And it's a disservice.
I think that's huge. Especially, like, kind of like you said, you're like, I worked this hard to get to, like, this piece. Like, it's hard to have peace. It's hard to, like, attain it. It takes time.
Yeah. So, like, once you... too. That's crazy.
Say it again?
Say genuine peace too. Like, it's very, very, very real.
So, like, I can understand, and I respect it. And frankly, I would do the same thing in terms of you work so hard to get to this piece, to get to this area, and now having someone in your life that is actively trying to either actively trying to destroy it, or whatever they're doing is currently destroying that piece. I mean, the logical response would be to cut out that thing that is taking away your peace. You know what I mean? Regardless of what that is.
Yeah.
That's true, man. But the thing about it is, boys, we also have to remember, not a lot of men and women are willing to walk away from someone who they deem important to them, even if that person is destroying their peace.
That is very
true. You know, a lot of them don't understand that that's what's most important. So I think it is a powerful thing to, one, reinstate so people can kind of hear it. So, Tyler, I kind of want to turn this on you for a second.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
along the same lines of the questions I kind of asked Quinn, I know your relationship might not be as long as his, but you did kind of go for a significant amount of time.
We went for some time. We did.
Yeah, we did. Exactly. So from the time that you spent, what did you, I guess, learn about how long-term relationships worked? Like, maybe one or two things that kind of, like, stuck out to you that you can kind of remember.
What worked for, at least I'm going to speak for me personally, I'm going to say what worked for me. And some of it I really do think adds up with Quinn. I was the, I guess in my relationship, I was the calm person, you know? I was the one who, when shit hits the fan, she would kind of react and obviously get upset. And I would be the one who would be like, yo, everything, regardless of if in my mind I was like, damn, like this shit bad type shit. I would always be like, oh no, it'll be all right. It'll be fine. Like playing the, and you can't have two. Someone gotta be stable. Someone gotta be the cool person, the calm person under pressure. Kind of like that rock. You both can't be emotional. You both can't overreact when shit hits the fan. You know, there are some women who are the ones who are the calm ones, and the niggas the one who's emotional and overreactive. But in my case, that helped tremendously. Because when things did go wrong, I was able to kind of calm her down or kind of keep a level head. So I noticed with me that kind of that helped tremendously. Also, I was the positive one. I was the one that always looked on the bright side. When shit went wrong, I always looked on the bright side. She was a little bit more negative. So like kind of having that opposite, I think also helped. It was like the balance, you know. I think if we were both too happy-go-lucky, it would have been bad. And obviously, if we were both negative, it would have been bad. So, balancing it out. I do agree with the whole space thing. Now, with me, the space thing kind of happened inadvertently. Because, like, I got a girl, and then shortly after, like, COVID became a thing. So, like, college, well, Trey, you already know, like, our college, like, closed down type shit. So
yeah,
like,
essentially.
I went from seeing her every day to, I mean, this bitch live states away. So, like, I ain't seen Shorty really at all. Like, I went months and months without seeing her. Obviously, we talked on the phone and FaceTime and shit like that. But there was a period of time where, like, I couldn't really see her. But I do believe, like, that space actually did, it definitely did help. Because you already imagine, like, when I did see her, like, obviously, I was very excited to see her. And she was very excited to see me because, like, you gave each other that space. I think when you don't give each other space, you both get too familiar with each other. And what's natural, it seems like, with human nature is we kind of start to take each other for granted. And you can even say that shit with your niggas. I mean, obviously, we have a different relationship. But, I mean, like, Trey, if you want to use me and you, for example. When I was seeing you every day, I just see you be like, yo, what's good, Brody? Dap you up. And now think about when we go months without seeing each other. Then when I see you, I'm like, yo, what's good, Brody? What the fuck is up? Like, we're both much more excited, you know?
Yeah. Compared to, of course.
I see you every day. I'm like, you know, like kind of that assignment goes away. And in a relationship, it's very easy to kind of take the other person for granted. So I think having space helps tremendously. And I think also, like, obviously communication is a huge thing. You both have to be on the same page. You both have to be able to communicate how you both feel. I think openness, at least in my relationship with what I like, I just like to be open. You know, I feel like sometimes communication kind of gets fucked up because, like, one person is not trying to say too much and is trying to hold information or is trying to portray one way, but they really feel another way, but they, you know, they might say something else. So it's like, if she's going out and, like, you don't want her to go out, but instead of you just telling her that, you now are kind of like passive aggressive towards Shorty or something like that. Like, that's causing problems compared to if you just been honest, was like, hey, you know what, I really don't think you should be going out. And even though she might not like it, and it might even start a fight, I think that's much better than being passive aggressive, you know what I mean? And and also communication, you know, you get the answer you want damn near right away. Compared to, like, you sitting at home, like, thinking, like, yo, is she doing this? Is she doing that? Just actually, like, talking to her and letting her know how you feel. And she does the same thing to you. I think that helps. And I think what also helps is, like, having boundaries. You know, like, not being a pushover. Like, not letting her do whatever the fuck she wants. And, I mean, vice versa for a female who's listening. Not, obviously, a nigga should respect you. Like, not having him, like, disrespect you and other shit. I think what happens in a lot of relationships is, and I think also it's a lot of niggas too, they afraid to have certain boundaries because they think if they have certain boundaries, she's not going to like it and she's going to leave. When in reality,
that's true.
In reality, she kind of respects you if you have boundaries. I mean, I'm not telling her you have to keep this bitch hostage, but I mean, like, have certain, but like certain things that like you like, I don't like. Don't do this. You know, it's and it should be both ways. But I think a lot of niggas are scared of that. And I also think what Quinn said is fucking like huge. He's willing to walk away if she or any female is fucking up with his peace, fucking up his mental health. Quinn is like, I know what's most important to me, and I will leave. Like, I'm not dealing with this. And I know you mentioned this, but a lot of niggas don't do that. You know, a lot of niggas are willing to sit there and suffer for months, some even years.
Just because
they're scared of either losing her or they're scared to walk away, and they think, oh, I'm not gonna get another bitch ever again. I'm not gonna get another girl like that ever again. When, like, that's just not the reality, but a lot of niggas kind of think that way.
Yeah, that's true.
And I do agree. And Quinn, I kind of think you have the advantage in terms of you growing up in a different culture. So, like, you're not necessarily as, like, emotional. But a lot of niggas have a hard time, like, getting, like, really attached to a girl and getting really, really emotional with her. And, like, it kind of like the term, and I know we haven't used this phrase in a while, but like I know we've said it, like a girl kind of like bitches you up in a way. And I think in order to kind of keep a relationship, you can't let her do that to you, because like once that happens, then it's kind of clip type.
It's
shit.
It's done up, bro. All my relationships ended because of shit like that. All my relationships ended after they bitched me up, bro. It was done up.
So like you gotta like, keep that like, masculine. You have to work on keeping that masculine frame damn near like at all times. Obviously
at all times.
Yeah, obviously you show emotion at times. Obviously, you know, you could be romantic, all that other shit. I'm not saying that. But
don't
I think
make it a habit though.
Yeah, but I think niggas kinda just fall into the, you know, they'll do like nice things here and then, but then I just think they just continue to get bitched up, and then they just kinda fall into the rabbit hole, and then next thing you know, she's leaving you, and you're like, "What happened? What did I do?" Like, nigga, you done fucked like, fuck
them. I think most people need to have like principles, like set up.
Mm,
like, yes. For my girl, when we met, I was like, "Hey, give me your 5 principles that won't budge, like you won't, you know, ain't anything like that."
That's actually a really good fucking question to ask.
Yeah,
bro.
I'm gonna take that too.
Holy shit, that is a great question, Quinn.
Yeah, like, let her give you her principles of things that she would not accept, then you give her yours. And if y'all could have, like, sit down and have a better understanding on those things, I should agree on it. I think, like, that should be helpful. And then if
once
one
again,
of y'all
it comes down to communication.
Those principles, yeah, if one of y'all break those principles, then I'm like, okay, listen, what you did, we could either A, fix it, make it better, or no,
we call it a day.
Like meeting you. You made me a better person. Like, I saw things that in me that you brought out, and then handshake or say fuck you, and then just move on. Like, either way, you want to do it.
Yeah, you know, I'm seeing, I'm seeing a lot of connections wherein it seems like men in both scenarios, both you guys gave, the both of you were the quiet type, the ones who when shit was hitting the fan, people would come to running, worried about stuff, and you guys are level headed, and able to handle the situation, and it seems as though that's the type of man you kind of have to be in those circumstances.
You gotta be able to hold it down, bro. What it is, and holding it down is not just financially. Holding it down is all around, emotionally as well. When shit really starts to hit the fan, you got to be the one to be like, regardless of if it's okay or not, you got to be the one to be like, yo, don't worry, it's gonna be alright. We gonna get through this. I'm gonna handle it. Yep. Everything gonna be fine. It's gonna be alright. You got to hold it down. That's why I personally believe as a nigga, that's just what you gotta do. And
yeah,
I just don't think, especially I think in today's, obviously this is not all niggas, But I think one huge reason why there's a problem with, like, dating, and I know, Trey, you alluded to it on the last podcast when you started talking about simps and shit. It's like, I just don't think niggas really just be holding it down. And I'm not
it's our fault, bro.
And I'm not even talking about I'm not even talking about just financially. But I'm just talking about, like, emotionally. I think a lot of all niggas around. Yeah, man. They're very emotional. Not even because they attached to her, but, like, they just can't. When shit hits the fan, they get very flustered and they don't know what to do. And they haven't, like, I guess, trained themselves to kind of. Because I used to be that way, too. When shit hit the fan, like, I used to be flustered, too. But I had to literally, like, train myself to stay calm under those moments. And on an episode a while ago, we kind of talked about something like this. But, like, how do you get better at that? Is, like, you kind of got to be put in, like, moments where shit hits the fan, you know? You put in enough moments when shit hits the fan, you kind of, over time, you learn to calm your nerves down.
Exactly. True. You know, funny enough, I think that episode you're talking about, Tyler, Quinn was on that one.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah,
we were like, talking about, like, handling emotions and, like, how you handle emotions. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I was on that one. I remember that one.
That makes sense. It all comes full circle, of course.
Yeah. The trio.
Thanks. I do want to, I know we're coming to an end, but Trey, I want you to answer the question. Like, what? Like, how would you orchestrate it?
You'd have to restate it for me.
I'm pretty sure the question was along the lines of, you asked Quinn how he was able to, like, maintain his relationship for so long. So, like, I know you, like, neither me or you have as much experience as Quinn, but if you can kind of articulate something, how would you try to maintain, like, a relationship over, like, a long term?
You know, I don't want to be redundant, but I do feel as though you guys covered a lot of the areas in which I'd take from. Frankly, having a masculine frame, I noticed when I had a masculine frame, and I had a girl at the time, she really respected it. Having boundaries, she really respected that. You said something earlier, Todd, and I think that's very important. I was actually nervous, like, the first time I got a girl. To have boundaries, because, like, I didn't want her to leave, but I noticed that, like, but if you have boundaries, they're not going, especially if she really likes you, she's not gonna go nowhere.
It don't mean nothing. She'll respect it.
Exactly. And she actually likes it more that way, because she's like, all right, well, I know where I stand with him. Surprisingly enough, putting them in their place is actually, like, a good thing. Now, here's what I mean by that. I didn't know girls do this. I didn't know they like this. But some girls will purposefully go out of their way to cause a problem just to have you put them in their place. Yeah. Now, I don't always like that headache, of course. But I do feel at certain points you are going to have to put your girl, like, listen, you can't be acting like that. And though they're going to get mad, though they're going to get upset, they actually respect you more because of it. Because they're like, oh, he's a man. Like, he actually is holding me accountable. Yeah. Which a lot of women won't admit, but they actually want their man to do. That's what I noticed. I would also, in addition to all of that, I'd say it's perfectly fine to be emotional, but you can't be too emotional.
There's a balance.
This is a little bit a morbid thing, but it kind of has to do with the topic at hand. We were joking about this, and God forbid, this is much, much later in life. But we were joking about, I was saying Tyler wouldn't cry if he came to my funeral. And he's like, nah, bro, I wouldn't cry in front of the family. Like, the family's there. I wouldn't cry. I'd be, like, strong face and just keep it out. But behind closed doors, though, I'd be tearing up.
Yeah, fair.
And I'm like, as a man, I can completely understand. Like, you have to be the rock. You have to be the one that, all right, listen, I know this is unfortunate what we're going through, but, like, it's going to be okay. You can't be breaking down. You got to be the strong one.
And, you know, I know this also is a little different, but it kind of pertains to, like the example you just used and what you just said. Jordan Peterson said this. He's like, at your father's funeral, you have to be the strongest person there. You know?
Yeah.
So essentially, yeah, it's real, like, bro. You got to be the one to, like, they kind of hold it down, for lack of a better terms, not go in there and everyone else cry. Like, you know, you go in there, you see mom's crying, you got to be able to console her, and because if you break down, she's gonna break down even more.
She's gonna break down even more.
Now it's a huge thing. So you got to be kind of like, you got to be the strongest man at your you gotta be the strongest person at your father's funeral. Kind of the same thing, a certain way, kind of like with your girl, like what you were explaining, Trey. Like, you gotta, there are times.
You gotta be the rock.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, bro. Yeah, man. For real. We are coming to the end of the show. And around this time, we typically give advice. So, Trey, do you happen to have any advice for the peoples?
To be honest with you, the whole reason I even asked Quinn those questions in the first place was to give you all advice. So I hope whoever's been listening to
you
this
has been, taking, been listening.
Has been taking the advice we've been giving so far.
tune in.
But to just restate, I guess, a couple things that we stated throughout the podcast, man. Like, listen, you have to, one, you got to be able to be the strong one, especially in regards to the relationship. You got to be the man. Ladies, you need to communicate with your guy. We can't read your minds. You need to, you know, illustrate to us what you kind of want us to do.
I am not a mind reader.
And I'd say those things, man. Just be true to yourself and just try to be good to each other as well.
Okay. Quinn, I know you kind of already gave advice, but do you have anything else you would like to tell the people?
Yeah. Things are going hard, bro. Allow it. Allow it and go through it. That's how you learn. And you learn. You're also never too old to learn certain shit.
Thanks. Always a student.
Very true. Every day. Always a student, man. Very true. Very true.
Okay, cool. Thank you for that, Quinn. Mine would be, you know, and I know this is still very early, but, like, this is a milestone for the podcast. The fact that we're here and we made 100 episodes.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Like, it's something that I'm proud of. I know Trey is proud of it. Frankly, you know, I'm proud of Trey. And I know I can say the same, that he's proud of me. The fact that we, even though it started off a little rocky, we both held each other accountable. We both continue to come here and get together on a weekly basis, regardless of if we had a guest, regardless of if we had multiple guests on. I mean, even there are some podcasts we've recorded where niggas really weren't even in the mood of making a podcast, but we still did. There were times where shit happened when someone got sick or something came up and they couldn't come on. So we literally had to reschedule the podcast to try to get things moving. We've had niggas' laptops go down, so we had to figure that shit out, bro. Before this fucking podcast, we having fucking mic issues type shit. Trey's recording on his motherfucking phone right now because his fucking mic couldn't work. So we done really came. And I know it's just 100, and I know we still got a long way to go. But I say all this to say, is there something that you really want to do? I would say go out and do it. Because you'd be surprised about how much you could really accomplish. I mean, as we talked about earlier, me and Trey really ain't even see us recording 100 episodes. I'm going to be honest. When nigga brought that shit up to me, I didn't really know what the fuck to expect from a podcast. I didn't even know what the fuck I was going to say. Like, I was actually kind of nervous to do it. Because, like, I don't really like hearing my voice and shit like that. But if you really do have a goal, or really, or you're thinking about starting some, whatever the fuck it is, it don't gotta be a company, it don't gotta be a podcast, it could be literally anything. Go and do it, cause you really would be surprised by what the outcome of it could be. And also, don't give up. Like, keep pushing. There are many times throughout this podcast, throughout the podcast, me and Trey easily could have gave up. Easily come be like, you know what, this shit ain't fucking working. But for the longest, we couldn't get this shit on Apple Podcasts, bro. For the longest, we've had so much, and obviously we're gonna have more obstacles ahead of us, but we've had so many times where it really would have honestly been easier if me and Trey were like, yo, bro, just fuck this podcast shit, nigga. We could just record a phone call for us if we really want it for memories type shit. You know what I'm saying? But
He speaks the truth.
Do everything. We just kept going. We just kept pushing. So if you really do want something, try it out. And if you really do want something, don't give up on it. Just keep pushing. Because I'll say this. Through all the obstacles me and Trey done went through with this podcast, it done worked. We done figured this shit out because we here today. 100 episodes deep. So that would be my advice.
You know what? Before, I want to also add to what you just said, buddy. I think what also helped us is knowing that people actually wanted to listen to them in the first place.
Yeah.
It was quite a surprise to us, and we genuinely do. We say it every day, and frankly, we keep saying it, but we appreciate y'all.
We really do.
We appreciate you. Really do. Like, you don't have to. You choose to. Yeah, it's a choice.
There's some people who, honestly, I ain't never expect would listen to this shit. And then it for came real. Up and be like, yo, bro, I heard the podcast. Or I heard you.
For real.
I was like, damn, really? I didn't even think you liked me. Let alone you'll sit there and listen to an hour and be popping shit,
for
bro.
For real, bro. Like, I thought you hated me, man. But you out here listening to the show. Thanks. I appreciate you. For real.
So, yeah, me and Trey really do appreciate you guys who listen. We really do. Thank you guys. We really do thank anyone who has given us advice about the podcast, said something about the podcast, good or bad. We really do appreciate all the input you guys give us, and we appreciate the fact that you guys, you know, will sit down and listen to an hour of us talk. So thank you so much. Big shout out to Quinn. Thank you for popping out for the 100th episode.
Thank you for the 100, Brody. Thank you for the 100.
It's always a pleasure. Boys,
man. He's a man of his word. He said he was going to do it, too.
He said this shit a while ago. Like a while ago. We weren't even close to 100 when that nigga said it.
Yeah, bro. I think we were at 50 at the time.
I think y'all were like, yeah, 50. Yeah, about to say.
He might have been there for the 50th episode. And when he pulled up, he's like, I'll be here for 100, too.
Facts. Oh. Well, thank you, Quinn, for popping out for the 100, bro.
We gotta do one before I deploy too.
Facts, of course. We'll schedule something.
It's gonna happen for sure. Once again, thank you guys for listening. Please check us out on Instagram. There's gonna be NOA_podcast. All episodes are available on YouTube, Spotify, and on Apple Podcasts. If you find us on the YouTube channel, please make sure you subscribe to the channel because there is exclusive content that comes out just on YouTube that you do not want to miss. Also, you can find us on TikTok as well. It's gonna be NOA Podcast 1. Thank y'all for listening. We appreciate y'all. Y'all take care.
Have a good one.
Mm-hmm.